Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having a blessed day today. A lot of wild stories as always. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing very, very well, but my condolences to the family of the KC-130 aircraft that crashed today in the Marine Corps. That was awful. It blew up at 20,000 feet, exploded, killing 15 Marines and one Navy corpsman. The KC-130 airplane was a versatile plane, used for a lot of different things, including a refueling tanker. Officials have recovered the bodies of the 15 Marines and the corpsman, and the names of those killed have not been made public pending notification of the family members. The Lockheed KC-130 was transporting personnel and equipment from the Marine Corps Air Station Cherry Point in North Carolina to California. An official with the Greenwood Airport said the plane suffered a structural failure at 20,000 feet, which means that's something bad happened. A Mississippi State trooper said there was ammo in the plane, and they found debris on both sides of Highway 84. A man by the name of Andy Jones said he was working on the family's catfish farm, and we heard a boom. He looked up and he saw the plane corkscrewing down to the ground. Donald Trump tweeted after the crash that the Marine plane crash in Mississippi is heartbreaking, as he sent his and Melania's deepest condolences to all, and my condolences to these families that have also lost these men in this aircraft. And unlike the airplane that crashed in the field in Pennsylvania after on 9/11, which left basically zero wreckage, there is a large amount of wreckage strewn over the area. And so, of course, we know that it wasn't an airplane that crashed. We already know that. And back in 9/11, so it's just when airplanes crash, they make a mess. And I feel so bad for the family members. Austin, what do you think?
No, it is rough. I mean, especially in a situation like that, I mean, where you can't even foreshadow it. I mean, it's just flying around, transporting somewhere, and obviously some type of catastrophic failure causes a serious issue. That's sad. You know, it is. Where our prayers would be with the family. Also, too, what's going down in Florida, we had another pretty big gator attack down in Fort Myers with a 71-year-old woman in a gated Florida community. She had tools in her hand. She was working and was able to actually fend off the gator. And this is becoming more and more prevalent down here in Florida. And as I've told you guys before, gators are not a joke down here. They're very, very aggressive reptiles. There's two issues that are going on down here. One, there's a massive influx of people that want to keep moving to Florida. And I keep telling people that, but nobody wants to listen. Everybody wants to keep moving down to Florida, moving down to Florida. They're building more subdivisions, taking more swamp out, putting more fill dirt in, making more retention ponds, putting more subdivisions in. And all the wildlife's getting pushed closer and closer to humans. The second problem is the gators are not allowed to be hunted. They are completely endangered species. We can only get tags. I applied for more tags this year. They declined my lottery. I didn't get them again. I've got five other friends that applied for them. Only one of them got accepted for the lottery on that, so he's got two tags, so we'll probably be taking one out this year, two of them out this year. But the issue is they're growing and they're reproducing much, much faster than we're able to hunt them because of the lottery restriction down here. And the more people are coming down here, a lot of these people from up north do not take these animals seriously. They think they're kind of like little pets, they're little reptiles, they're big lizards in the retention pond behind your gated community, and they're not. They need to be very cautious of these things because they're extremely aggressive. And also, the communities need to be much, much more proactive at getting gator trappers in there and getting these things out as soon as they're spotted. I know Disney World, after that family had gotten that attack with that child that got killed last year, they've completely revamped their, as far as their security with gators in there, having people come in and trap them at night. Also, too, putting signs up all around the water, basically, do not enter the water. There are reptiles, there are gators, there are snakes in the water, do not enter it. And people have to understand that are coming down here from up north. These animals are very large, they're very aggressive, and if they get a hold of you and you don't have some type of weapon to fight them off, a large percentage of the time they are going to drag you into the water and you're going to have a very difficult time getting away from them. So, yeah, that's just an update on gators, guys. But I pray for this lady. I hope she survives this because she got tore up pretty bad over there down in Fort Myers.
Yeah, bit off part of her leg. Well, the crazy thing about this is when people feed these reptiles, they associate the person with food. And when the person doesn't have any food, they associate the person with food. I mean, how need I say more? They're not an endangered species any longer. There are protected species, like Austin said, and what's happening is you have to get tags to shoot them. They're very protected, and the reason for that is back when I was a child, back in the 50s and 60s, all of the, quote, settlers that had come down here recognized these T-Rexes for what they were, man-eaters. That's what they are. And they had no fear of man when man first came down here, and basically they were hunted to the point where they left everybody alone, and they were taken out of most of the freshwater lakes that had people swimming in the lakes. Now, they've returned with a vengeance. We had one caught just a few years ago in Lake Hamilton that was over 18 feet long. Some say he was actually over 20 feet long, but I have to see the tape on that to believe that. And he weighed about 3,000 to 4,000 pounds. Now, if something like that grabs you, and yes, that's what we're swimming with in the lakes, and no, I don't swim much in the lake anymore, because when we were children, we didn't have to worry about that. Now, I will say in the past, many, many, many years ago, when the statute of limitations has long since run out on this, I have shot many gators. However, I've never killed a gator. They're extremely difficult to kill, and I would always shoot at them or towards them whenever they were coming after my dogs or my children. And I've had that happen multiple, multiple times. So, yes, between the water moccasins, between the rattlesnakes, between the copperheads, in between 3,000-pound reptiles that want to eat you, along with all of the Burmese pythons now swimming around the Everglades, you got to be careful in Southwest Florida where all these things are really, really prevalent. Because remember, a lot of people have turned their snakes loose, and they end up being 17, 18, 19, 20 feet long in the Everglades, the size of logs. And this is just what it is down here. We live in this hot, hot climate with a lot of reptiles. And quite frankly, I like going up to North Georgia and up to North Carolina a lot, because what is happening is if you go in the water and swim up there, there really are no poisonous snakes in the water, and there are no gators in the water in North Carolina, simply because it's too cold for them, because they are cold-blooded reptiles. And remember, you may think you can train one, but you really can't train them very well, and they pretty much respond instead. They don't respond. They react with instinct. I remember years ago, Austin, you and I were on a motorcycle. I think it was on a Goldwing. And, or maybe one of my Harleys, I don't remember. And we had driven over, and I have no motorcycles anymore, guys. I've got enough sense to stop all that. And I remember we were over at a place getting a hamburger or something in Winter Haven. I forgot what it was. And a gator just came running across the parking lot. And I remember I had my boots on, if you remember, and I put my foot on its head, and I was trying to pick it up, and it ran under a dumpster. It was a small one. It was only about 2 feet long. And then, we tried to get somebody to come out there and help us get it sorted, because they have the reason their bites are so poisonous, and it's not because they necessarily are poisonous animals. They don't have venom, but their mouths are just nasty. Just nasty, nasty animals. They eat all kinds of dead, rotting things. They have all kinds of bacteria in their mouth. So if you're coming down here to bring your children and you're going to be swimming in freshwater lakes, remember, guys, they're not a joke. When the sign says gators present, swim at your own risk, or how about do not swim, you probably need to pay attention to that, Austin. What do you think?
You're absolutely right. It's really not a joke. I mean, I talked to people that were down at Disney a while back ago, and they thought that the signs were basically to keep people out of the water, so they didn't mess up, you know, the vegetation and stuff. And I said, no, you guys don't get that. I said, they have signs in here because they'll eat you. And they looked at me and go, no, they don't do that. They wouldn't let people anywhere near the water. I said, oh, I beg to differ, my friend. I said, they will. They will eat you. And I said, if you don't know what you're doing, they're going to come after you. I said, just stay out of the water unless you know what you're doing and you have a firearm or some type of tool with you, or you're used to handling gators. Gator trappers, those boys are wild down here. They don't really care, but they're used to doing that. That's what they do for a living, so they don't have an issue with it. Second, also, too, this is a pretty wild story. Dan and I have been talking about this type of research for years, and DARPA just released a $65 million grant to figure out how to connect human brains with digital devices. The U.S. military DARPA program is saying they're putting $65 million into the creation of an implantable device that will provide data transfer between human brains and the digital world. They said the emerging technology is organized under the Department of Defense, announced Monday that 5 research institutions and 1 private corporation will be recipients of the Brain to Computer Research Grants. The main private corporation, Paradromics, CEO Matt Engel of Paradromics, is the mind-to-machine broadband for the brain research company that's getting $18 million out of this grant. He tells MIT Technology Review that the funding comes with a moonshot list of requirements, including the implant size being smaller than a nickel and the mandatory ability to send signals back to the brain and write back to the digital world. The DARPA program aims to develop a blueprint for creating an implantable neural interface that will bridge the bioelectrical divide between the brain and digital devices. This federal contact is to create a brain modem, including flexible and brush-like bundles of circuits, sand grain-sized wire sensors, and holographic microscopes capable of observing thousands of brain neurons at one time. So, Dad, they are finally doing this now and going mainstream with it. DARPA's releasing $65 million in grants to basically try and tie us in to the supercomputers now. This definitely is going to get wild, especially the fact that they're actually letting this go out in mainstream. This is from the IBTimes.com. So this is not a joke anymore. This isn't science fiction. This is not a conspiracy theory. They're blatantly going mainstream with this and letting us know what they're trying to accomplish now, Dad.
They already have this technology. They've had this technology for years. They were using the implants with the radio controls in brains back in the 60s and 70s. This is 50-year-old technology. They've already got this. What they're doing is they're telling us now that they don't want us to let us know that they had this technology for 40 or 50 years. So they're putting out these bogus grants, and they're basically saying, hey, we're going to put out these grants now, and then we can gradually do a soft release that we're developing this product. And then all of a sudden, someone's going to pop up with this interface within 3 to 4 years, and they can gradually say, oh, we put $65 million into development. Why would DARPA, the most advanced scientific research corporation in the world, owned by the federal government, owned by the military, owned by the Rothschilds, why would they possibly have a need to give this out of $65 million worth of grants to other people that are researching? This is exactly what happened if you read the book. That book needs to be in your library the day after Roswell by Colonel Corso, Fulbert Colonel. And he said that the laser technology, he said that the night vision goggle technology, the printed circuit board technology, and a bunch of other stuff all was back engineered from alien spacecraft that crashed at Roswell that he personally saw, and he personally saw the aliens. This is a Fulbert Colonel, and he wrote this book 50 years later after he could basically do it with his secret clearance. Now, the reason I'm telling you that is this. This is what they did with DARPA. This is what they did in the 40s and the 50s. They released this information as if it's a new research that's being done. They've already buttoned this stuff up. They've already got the information. They've already know how to do it. But now they don't have to say, hey, DARPA found this. They can say this independent corporation found it, just like they used these independent corporations to back research the night vision, the lasers, the printed circuits. I mean, do you really think that Bill Gates really founded his little thing in a garage? Do you really think that he was funded by all that? How about the guy with Zuckerberg with Facebook? Do you really think the CIA didn't have a major part of that, that we know they're giving them hundreds of millions of dollars now to use the platform? Come on, guys. We got to think past this nonsense that they tell us in this obfuscated news. Because the truth of the matter is, Austin, this research has been done. This research has been completed. They've already nano-chipped us all with smart dust. That research is also from the Fallen Angel technology. And all of this stuff, guys, is already upon us. So when they tell you that they're actually researching this stuff now, that means a full rollout is imminent, probably within the next 5 to 10 years, period. And that's what they want to do. They want to have everybody uphooked, uplinked by 2025, 2030 to the AI through a brain interface. And they're going to start doing that research and providing that immediately. Look how fast the iPhone technology came out. Look how fast all of this stuff came out. Look how fast the Android technology came out. All of these things, every single year, faster, 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 faster. Well, why is that? Because the technology is being pushed along by a different agenda. Now, that takes me to the next agenda. The GMO agenda is taking a menacing leap forward with the EPA's silent approval of Monsanto Dow's RNAi corn. This corn has RNA in it that actually ties itself into your DNA and changes your DNA and directly affects your epigenetics. This is an article you can read, and it's by Sajar Jai, J-I, and it's called, the name of the article again is, The GMO Agenda Takes a Menacing Leap Forward with the EPA Silent Approval of Monsanto Dow's RNAi Corn. I told you this. I'm going to tell you this again. I know I'm being redundant for you guys who listen every day. Please forgive me for the redundancy. I don't have senile dementia. I don't have Alzheimer's disease. We literally have hundreds of new people, if not thousands of new people, tuning in every single day, and I got to tell them what's going on with the DNA. They are changing your DNA through the food that we eat. What people don't understand in most cases who don't listen to this show is that food is a information system in the body. When you eat food, you're ingesting a different energy field into your body. This energy field directly competes, if it's not properly integrated with your body, with your own DNA information field. You are a sound wave, is what you are. You are a specific frequency. Everybody has a very unique frequency. God gave us that ability to basically vibrate at a different speed. Everybody's different based on your DNA. When they put this stuff into you, it does things that you don't want it to do. It changes your DNA. It changes your epigenetics. It will cause you to have children that will be infertile. It will cause you to have children that will have cancer. It will cause you to have children who have their children's children to have cancer. It's about the population agenda and remaking humanity into the image of whatever the Nephilim want us to be, as they did in Genesis chapter 6. Now you guys go, what are you talking about, Ted? I've never heard you talk about this before. Food is an information system. Water, alcohol, protein, carbohydrates, it all has a specific frequency. When you incorporate this DNA into your DNA through your digestive tract, it becomes part of you. This is why you can't allow them to give you GMO food. You can't allow them to give you these foods that have never been tested on human beings, but they've tested them on human beings. I want you to know that. They already know what they're going to do to you. They have every idea already when they give you foreign RNA into your body that's going to change you from an epigenetic standpoint. Their goal is 500 million people on the planet. They're going to do it. Why do you think they're going into Africa now and they're putting the farmers in jail who refuse to take the Monsanto corn and the GMO corn and Monsanto GMO seeds? Because they want to incorporate this stuff into their DNA also and change the human genome. This is what this whole process is about. They're trying to change you genetically by giving you food that's going to poison you, reduce your fertility rates, cause you to miscarriage, cause you to be sick, cause you to have cancer. All of these things are being done on purpose. And it's kind of like this. They're letting you know what they're doing. And if you're smart enough to realize what they're doing, you can say, no, I'm not going to allow you to do this to me. Now, that's why I always tell you guys, this is why I cover this stuff on an ongoing basis, because I want you guys to be well-educated when you listen to this show. And I want you to be aware of what they're doing to you. So when they bring that basket of snakes or that GMO corn to your front door, and they say, here, sign for this, you're going to say, I tell you what, I'm not doing that. I'm not signing for that. Just a few minutes ago, I was walking over here to the house, speaking of reptiles, and I had a pygmy rattler run across the sidewalk in front of me here in the backyard, and I ended up killing the pygmy rattler. And I thought to myself, you know, you have to be aware of these snakes. You have to be aware of what's going on in Florida. You have to be aware of what they're doing to you from a genetic standpoint. Watch Bruce Lipton's video that he has. He wrote books on epigenetics, and he talks about how the DNA that you have in your body is expressed based upon the diet that you eat and your beliefs and your confessions. That many times when people have a quote-unquote cancer DNA problem, one of their chromosomes or whatever, are predisposed to cancer, 80% of whether or not that turns into cancer or not is directly dependent upon your lifestyle, on your attitude, on your supplements, on the food that you eat, etc. You don't have to say, well, my mama died of this or my daddy died of this. You don't have to sign for that. Just don't eat the way they ate. Don't think the way they thought. Don't do the things they did. Change the diet. Change your life. It's kind of like my old friend David Crank said to me one time, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. I'll tell you one more thing. Show me your diet. Show me your thoughts. Show me your people that you're hanging out with and I'll show you your future. Because guys, they're doing this to us. They're doing it to us on purpose. And I'm letting you guys know, as I always do on the show, that this is not okay with me. I bind it in the name of Yeshua. I will not tolerate this stuff. It's not going to come near to me, my house, or it's not going to come near to you guys either. And you guys, please don't ever eat corn unless you know it's certified organic. This thing is actually labeled as a pesticide from Monsanto. They actually put pesticide, they grow it inside, and it poisons your intestinal tract along with other GMOs. Don't allow this stuff to go into your body, and make sure you never eat the foods that they spray with glyphosate before harvesting. Absolutely critical information today, Austin. What do you think?
That was excellent, man. You're 100% right on all that. I mean, it's multifaceted, and it's also, too, what we see is such a war on real, true information, because not only are they trying to poison us with all this stuff, they're trying to prevent us from getting real, true, natural information. You know, you see literally tens of millions of people in the United States now on SSRIs, antidepressant medications, all over the country, all over the globe. But yet, nobody wants to address natural issues, natural supplements, natural nutrients, natural food. And now, the University of Vermont's Lerner College of Medicine just found a promising result on magnesium after a full clinical trial involving the use of just basic over-the-counter magnesium tablets in depressed patients. You know, guys, we came out with that magnesium, the brain food, the super brain food magnesium, couple weeks ago. Incredibly good formula. We also have the capsules. We also have the magnesium topical. I get asked that a lot. Emails, they ask me. Calls, they call in. They're like, why do you have so many different magnesiums? You have magnesium in your supplements and your multiple. You have magnesiums in your Ultimultal Fit Food Vegan Powder. You got powdered multiple. You got magnesium topical. You got magnesium salt. I say, because you guys don't understand how important magnesium is for every aspect of the body. It plays a role in over 300 different body functions. Well, in this basically clinical trial, it was in a blocked and randomized crossover trial of 126 adults using outpatient primary care clinic. Participants with mild to moderate depression were studied over the course of 12 weeks. Some participants were given 250 milligrams of magnesium each day for the course of 6 weeks, followed by 6 weeks without it, whereas those in the control group received no treatment for 6 weeks, followed by 6 weeks of magnesium. All participants were given biweekly assessments of their depression symptoms. Those who took the magnesium noted clinically significant improvements in anxiety and measures of depression. On the patient health questionnaire 9, which asked patients 9 questions to diagnose and then classify depression, participants scored 6 points lower on average during their time taking magnesium. Best of all, they experienced these improvements after just 2 weeks of taking magnesium. In addition, patients of all ages and depression types tolerated the supplement perfectly fine and noted similar levels of effectiveness with no side effects. This appears to support another study in the Croatian psychiatric hospital that discovered that many patients who had attempted suicide suffered from extremely low levels of magnesium. In fact, depression can be a sign of magnesium deficiency, as can ringing in the ears, muscle cramps, kidney stones, and abnormal heart function. So guys, yes, that is why we have so many different magnesium options for you guys to be able to take. Whether you want to soak in the bathtub, whether you want to put magnesium sports oil on, whether you want to take magnesium capsules, whether you want to get some in your multiple, whether you want to take the magnesium brain food that's in the powder, it's all there. We want to make sure everybody has as much access to it as much as they want, whenever they want it. And that's that magnesium powder we have has been a huge seller, because everybody that's been taking it that I've talked to absolutely loves it. Their brain clarity is better. Their mental acuity is better. Their memory is better. Everything really, really gets boosted with magnesium. But I just wanted to address that today, Dad, with this magnesium, because it's such an important mineral, and I feel like it just kind of gets thrown to the side, like, oh, it's an electrolyte, oh, it's just magnesium, you know, magnesium and sodium. It doesn't get it's taken for granted all the time, and this study was so significant that it really, really should show a lot of people, if you're having issues with this, man, add in some magnesium, add in some B vitamins, add in some Norwegian omega-3. You don't have to live on these pharmaceutical medications your whole life. There's so many other options. Talk to your doctor about coming off the medications under his advice and start some natural supplements and see what they can do for you before you live on this stuff for years and years and years, creating really, really bad side effects in some cases, Deb.
Well, you know, the one thing the magnesium powder did for me, and I can say, because I take 2 scoops of every day in my protein shake for morning, it got, every once in a while, I'd have a little bit of brain fog. Now, that's just kind of a yucky thing when you get brain fog. Your brain just doesn't quite boot up. Now, you guys may or may not know what that means, but if you don't know what it means, maybe because you're having to deal with brain fog right now. Okay. So, and I started taking this, and I really noticed, Austin, the brain fog completely and totally went away. Now, I was already soaking my feet with the magnesium, and it helped a little bit. With this magnesium powder, because remember, this stuff actually goes through the blood-brain barrier. It's a special chelated Ambien that really is amazing what it does. It chelates the aluminum back out of the brain. And maybe it's just that I'm getting enough aluminum chelated back out of the brain now. My brain's just booting back up again. Because remember, guys, you're exposed to aluminum all of the time. All of the time. Because of the chemtrails. Because of the antiperspirant deodorants, if you're still using them. If you're cooking on aluminum pots and pans. If you're drinking out of soda cans. If you're using aluminum foil. If you're using salt with aluminum triskelate added to it, if you're taking immunizations, if you're using things like Maalox that have aluminum salts in them and different types of antacids, all of these things are loaded with aluminum salts. So guys, these are the kind of things you really need to stay away from, and you need to be getting that stuff out of your system, because we talked about that yesterday in depth, if you missed that show, about what you need to do to get your brain booted up. By the way, the Virginia KKK rally, I thought I'd mention this. I thought the KKK was gone. Was countered by 1,000 protesters in Virginia. Now, let me tell you why they were rallying in Virginia. An estimated 50 Klan members gathered in Charlottesville to express objection to the city council's decision to remove a statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee from the park, which has now been named Emancipation Park. The statue has stood for almost 100 years, but has recently become the subject of debate, as some consider the display to be racist, an emblem of white supremacy. An injunction has currently stalled the removal until a court hearing in November. They went on to say the liberals are taking away our heritage, said James Moore. By taking these monuments away, they are trying to erase our culture out of the history books. Guys, I have to agree with the folks there that are protesting the removal of the statue of Robert E. Lee. You can't go in and change history and do revisionist on it and rewrite everything. Guys, the Civil War happened. Robert E. Lee happened. Sherman happened. Lincoln happened. All of these things happened, and we need to realize that trying to change it and to sugarcoat it and to powder coat it, or whatever you want to do to coat it, isn't going to help. I mean, the South had legitimate grievances against the federal government, and again, they don't want the symbology of the Confederate flag, which is a battle flag. There were many flags of the Confederate Army. They didn't want the symbology of Robert E. Lee's statue there. They don't want to have any of this symbology, because they don't want you to think through what the symbolism means, because they know that that symbolism burns into your right brain. That's why they use logos in major corporations. IBM has its own logo. ABC has its own logo. Apple has its own logo. They put logos on all of these corporations because these images burn into your right brain, and you never forget them. You never let them go. They understand how your brain works. That's why they want the symbolism of statues of Confederate war heroes and the symbolism of the Confederate flag to go away. This isn't okay with me. Okay? I realize that on both sides of that war, people did things that weren't good. I got that. I wasn't around. My parents were over in Europe. We had our own set of problems we were dealing with over there in Germany back in the 1860s and 70s and 80s. And so I just want you guys to know, if you're a Southerner, I got your back on this. You know, even though I don't have the Southern roots in me, except for this generation, I'm the only person in my whole family born in the South, in Austin, my family. But guys, it's not about slavery. That was a minor issue. It was about states' rights. There's all these books you need to read about what really happened in the Civil War. And always remember, Eli Whitney had developed the cotton gin in the early 1800s, and slavery was on the way out because it was cheaper to operate a cotton gin than it was to have the slaves pick cotton on the plantation. So guys, don't believe a lot of this nonsense that you're being told. These old histories and this old stuff that we see in the United States, that our Civil War or World War I or World War II, we had troops, veterans that died on both sides of these wars, and these men are being dishonored by the removal of what these people consider to be racist symbols and symbology. These men who died are being dishonored, and that's how I feel, Austin. What about you?
You're completely correct about that, man. I mean, this stuff has been up, like you said, for over 100 years. The war had negative sides, negative parts on both sides of it. It was not something that was positive for America at all. Way too many men lost their lives in that war, needlessly, in my opinion, because of the aggression from the north, and there was absolutely no reason now to look back and say, well, these people don't deserve this, they don't deserve that, they can't have this, they can't have that, where we want these statues removed. As you said, they want the symbolism moved. They want that rebellion, that standing up to the federal government that the South did, which is what that really came down to, was unfair taxation is what the North started doing because they couldn't keep their overbloated liberal budgets afloat, and they wanted more money from the South, more money from the South, more money from the South. And a lot of the old school South boys said, we've already done this before. We already had this issue in 1812. We've already had this issue in 1776. My granddad, my dad fought that. We're not going to allow the North to come in with its overreaching federal government and start taking money from us without just cause, because you guys want to spin yourself into oblivion and completely live out of your means. So we're not going to do that anymore. As you said, the slavery was only a very, very small part of that entire history if you do the real research on it, Dad. So, yeah, it's sad that they're doing that over there. It doesn't surprise me, though, because a lot of these guys, in my opinion, are paid protesters to really try and aggravate a lot of stuff. Also, too, very strange now. A active duty Army officer revealed the PowerPoint presentation and accompanying lesson to the Federalist newspaper this week on how the U.S. Army is now moving forward with mandatory training sessions for male soldiers on how they need to befriend transvestites in the Army. I kid you not now. They said now, completed with the training session that he was in along with 40 other soldiers, instead of their regularly scheduled morning physical training, they had a briefing session inside a classroom. He said the new guidelines call for male soldiers to ensure an inclusive environment by developing friendships with transgender soldiers. Social interactions and developing friendships with peers are what contribute to positive work environment, they said. Maintain an inclusive environment and do not gossip. This includes information about a soldier's sexual identity, sexuality, medical challenges, and gender transition. You guys are going to love this. Under the new guidelines, a soldier is only required to obtain a letter from a medical doctor stipulating they have achieved, and I quote, stability in their preferred gender to officially change their gender marker in the Army's personal database, which is referred to as a DEERS. From that point forward, a soldier is expected to adhere all military standards associated with their gender and use the billeting, bathroom, and shower facilities of their new gender. The PowerPoint presentation advises soldiers to understand that they may encounter individuals in barracks, bathrooms, or shower facilities with physical characteristics of the opposite sex despite having the same gender markers in DEERS. Transgender soldiers are not expected to modify or adjust their behavior based on the fact that they do not match other soldiers, and said the other soldiers are ordered to accept living and working conditions that often are austere, primitive, and characterized by little to no privacy, and basically to respect these individuals' genders. I don't even know where to go with this. I just had to bring it up because I researched it today and I saw it, and it was so egregious to me what we're actually doing in the U.S. military. First off, there's a whole other level of weird, because now, obviously, we're going to start having males showering in females' shower room bunks. This just gets so bizarre on so many levels, I don't even know where to take it. I cannot believe the Army has capitulated on this, and that the upper, higher-ranking officers have not basically stood their ground and refused to do this out of basically fear of being court-martialed, I guess. That's the only thing I can imagine. But they're allowing now these unbelievably weird, psychotic individuals that want to be wrapped up in this transgender lifestyle to apply in the military, and not just apply and be accepted, actually have preferential treatment in the military, and say that they do not have to worry about basically having any issues with these guys. They need to accept them and befriend them. This is an absolute joke. We talked about it last year. It was starting to escalate. Now it's starting to happen. Now they're starting to have basically PowerPoint presentations and training sessions on it, Dad. How sad is that as far as what we're trying to do to feminize the United States military? Man, this is embarrassing.
The Gay Kenyon did this.
Yeah.
The Gay Kenyon did this.
Yeah.
The Gay Kenyon purged, you know, the main, he purged over 1,000 military officers, purged them, you know, after, you know, before and after Benghazi. And they wanted to make sure these guys were willing to shoot on American citizens and follow orders. I mean, there was almost a coup against the government because of Benghazi. And we've had Dave Hodges on talking about that multiple times. And this is what Obama brought us. He brought us the transgender legacy. This is what this, you know, whatever that guy, the God, Bruce, whatever his name is now, is the new weird one.
Jenner.
Bruce Degenerate, I guess. He basically has taught us this. And the problem this whole thing is that, you know, whether you think it's right or you think it's wrong, they're forcing you to accept it. It's not okay. I don't want to accept this and I don't want my kids to see it, but they're forcing it because, remember, they want to create as evil of a group of people as they can in charge and put the psychopaths in charge. That's what they're doing. And that's how they're doing it. And by the way, speaking of weirdos, Kaepernick, the basically the free agent, you know, quarterback now in the NFL, they interview him for the 4th of July since he's refused to stand for the, you know,
national anthem.
National anthem, excuse me. Every time I think about this guy, it just irritates me so much I go blank on him. He asked how Americans can truly celebrate independence because of the racism and the slavery that happened here hundreds of years ago. The former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick gained notoriety in 2016 after refusing to stand for the national anthem prior to a football game, criticized the celebration of Independence Day in the United States. How can we truly celebrate independence on a day that intentionally robbed our ancestors of theirs? Now, to find my independence, I went home, Kaepernick said on Tuesday. He went back to Africa. Quite frankly, he just needs to stay in Africa if that's his home. He wrote, in a quest to find my personal independence, I had to find out where my ancestors came from. I went out tracing my African ancestral roots, and it led me to Ghana. Upon finding out this information, I visited the sites responsible for myself and many other black folks who were being sold into slavery by their own tribal leaders. I wanted to see a fraction of what they saw before reaching the point of no return, he said. I spent time with my Guyana people from visiting the local hospital in Quito in the village of Otito to eating banku in the homes of local friends and paying my respects to Kwame Nwambi's Memorial Park. He concluded, I felt their love, and I hope I felt mine in return. He was once a quarterback who signed a $13 million guarantee and $126 million contract. Basically, I've got one thing to say to you, Mr. Kaepernick. Stay in Africa. If that's your home, stay there. We don't want you here. You're one of the most despicable people I've ever spoken about, simply because you are living the American dream. You got the golden ring. You were blessed beyond measure with your athletic talents. You had a great set of parents who raised you, and you are not bringing any type of honor to your parents or to anybody in this country by saying stuff and doing stuff like this. And quite frankly, if you're that ashamed of the United States, you need to move back to Guyana and deal with that mess over there and see how long it is before you want to come back over here and move back into your mansion. That's all I got to say about that, Austin.
Well, I do find it always ironic when these individuals that make $100+ million contracts, bringing in $20 million a year salaries, have all the toys, have everything they want, and then they want to sit there and say, oh yeah, I can't believe you guys did this. I'm ashamed of that. Is what you just said, man. If he's that embarrassed about the United States, if he's that embarrassed of his heritage, and the fact that he's sitting here saying, I went back to my home where this happened, where my tribal leaders sold my, you know, ancestors into slavery, not justifying anything they did in Africa or what the United States did from that, but if they never did that, he would cease to exist in the United States as a multi-$100 million quarterback. That's just simple facts. So for him to sit there and act like this and incite racial hatred towards the United States like he continues to do while he sits on tens of millions of dollars is total hypocrisy to me. And yeah, if he likes it that much, he needs to go back over there. But there's absolutely no reason for him to be in the United States if he's obviously that ashamed of it. He's going to make blatant statements like that. Anyways, let's get on another topic here. Oregon now has passed essentially the same bill that California did, the firearm confiscation bill. This is gaining traction all over the country. Multiple states now are considering it. Multiple states are basically passing it. Oregon lawmakers passed legislation co-sponsored by Senator Brian Boquist that allows judges to issue an ex parte ruling for the confiscation of an individual's firearms. The bill is SB 719, similar to California's, and it's now passed Oregon's House and Senate. It creates an extreme risk protection order which forces the subject of the order to hand over all firearms as well as his concealed carry permit if he possesses one. It's to be obtained by a law enforcement officer, family member, or household member in an ex parte hearing to deprive someone of their Second Amendment rights without due process of the law. The ex parte aspect of the law means the bill does not require the gun owner to be present for any part of the hearing in which the judge decides whether guns should be taken from him. Boquist was been pushing this confiscation bill. He told Breitbart News that SB 719 is not a confiscation bill. However, the language is quite confiscatory. Requires the courts to order respondent to surrender all deadly weapons and concealed handgun licenses within 24 hours of service of initial order and immediately upon service of a continued or renewed order. Provides for law enforcement officers serving order to request immediate surrender of deadly weapons and concealed handgun licenses and authorizes law enforcement officers to take possession of all surrendered items. If a requirement for immediate surrender of all firearms and a concealed carry license upon issue of an ex parte ruling that you're not allowed to be invited to is not confiscation, then I don't know what is, guys. I really don't. This is one of these underlying, really, really low-profile gun confiscation bills that is getting too much traction, in my opinion. They're using this now, and this is basically what they've said in California. If they feel somebody is threatening another individual, if they feel they're going to be a harm to themselves or a family member in their family, all somebody has to do is basically go and file one of these with the county. The judge looks at it and will rule in favor of them. If they say, no, John Schmo, he's got firearms, we're basically concerned about his well-being and the well-being of our family next door, we think he's being aggressive, we think he's hostile, we need basically an extreme protection extreme risk protection order granted. The judge slams the gavel, says ex parte, extreme risk protection order granted. Law enforcement will be there within 24 hours. You basically get issued the notice. You have to give up all of your firearms and concealed carry permit immediately upon request. That's a significant issue, guys, and the biggest issue I have with that isn't because they're trying to do this to protect individuals or protect family members, because I got that. There's some people that don't need guns. You're not going to hear me argue with that. There's some people that are total blithering idiots. They can barely keep their own life in check. They do not need to have firearms around. But having ex parte rulings where you don't even get to defend yourself, you don't even get a chance to have an attorney come defend you, they basically do all this behind your back, and without you knowing anything about it, they show up with a court order saying you have to basically relinquish all of your firearm rights until they seem fit to hand them back to you. Then you have to get an attorney, then you have to fight it, then you have to prove your innocence, then you have to prove that you deserve to have a Second Amendment right. I have a really, really, really big issue with this, and it's getting way too aggressive in multiple states now, and nobody really is addressing it on any shows, mainstream media. Nobody's bringing it up. I mean, this Breitbart's the only place I've been able to find this that's actually putting it out there mainstream. Nobody else is wanting to discuss it. If it is, it's buried at the bottom of the back page. So this is something you guys need to be aware of. If your state starts voting on stuff like this, if the Senate and the House starts pushing this stuff through, this is not something that needs to go through. Once this starts getting passed in numerous states, it's going to set a precedent, and what's allowing them to do is bypass the Second Amendment, strip you of your firearm rights for literally any reason that they seem fit, and then you have to come back and prove that you deserve to be able to own a firearm. Not cool, Dad. Not good at all.
I don't even know what to say, except you're 100% right, and I couldn't have said it any better. This is just the way to step around the Second Amendment. By the way, Chicago's in a giant mess. Illinois is in a giant mess. The whole state's in a giant mess. The pension funds are in a giant mess. And now they've got a bigger mess. Just the last few days, they've had a huge Muslim rally there. I've got it on videotape here. It's already gotten hundreds of thousands of views. And there's probably, it looks like 4,000 to 5,000, maybe 10,000 people in this rally. It's monstrous. And these, they've got some guy speaking there to these guys with a big loudspeaker, and he's working these guys up into some kind of unbelievably, you know, speaker-induced frenzy, and they start shouting out loud in unison, "Death to America." Now, all I can say is this. If I were the police officers, I would cordon this whole group off. I wouldn't let anybody leave. I would have, you know, the immigration services come in, and I would check to see where their passports are and if they were American citizens. Now, if they're American citizens, whatever. You got to let them do what they want to do. Don't have a bit of problems with American citizens. If these are guys that we're bringing in here who don't have American citizens, or they're not American citizens, and they don't have any papers that are proper, these guys would be on a C-130 transport plane, and we'll take them back to Guyana so they can hang out with Colin Kaepernick and they can be buddies in the back room. I don't care about these guys at all if they're not American citizens. Now, if this is a freedom of speech thing, they're American citizens, I'm okay with that. But if these are the guys that we just brought over here by the millions, by the way, and they're basically in Chicago now trying to tell people to death to America, these guys just need to go home. They need to go back to the H-E double sticks hole they came out of and basically live there for as long as they would like. And here's another interesting article, which I've told you guys for years. Eating French fries is linked to double the risk of premature death. This is crazy. This is by the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, and it observed 4,400 men and women ages 45 to 79 for 8 years, and they were assessed based upon their weekly fried potato consumption. After 8 years, 236 participants had checked out. Within this group, there were the highest consumers of French fries and other types of similar food. Guys, here's something you got to know about French fries. You got to know what they're cooked in. If they're cooked in olive oil at a real low temperature, if they're baked, and you want to French fry every once in a while, particularly a sweet potato fry, I don't have a bit of problems with that, have at it. But guys, if you want to go to McDonald's and they don't even change the oil and that stuff is rancid and they're cooking this poison right into the oil and into the potatoes and you want to eat that kind of French fry stuff, I'm telling you, you're going to have double the rate of death within a few years. It's that bad. So guys, do me a favor. Stay away from French fries. What do you think, Oz?
Yeah, no, there's no, don't eat French fries, man. First off, let me say this. There's really no useful purpose to eating French fries. Most people already know that. You're eating white potatoes, basically, that have been deep fat fried and usually some unknown mixture of fat. It's usually pretty rancid, pretty garbage, just not real healthy for you. As Dad said, there's multiple different companies that I've seen that have come out with organic sweet potato fries, different options that you can bake in the oven, which that's actually pretty healthy. Sweet potato fries baked in the oven, I've eaten those quite a few times in the past. You get organic sweet potato fries, you bake them in the oven, they taste really, really good, and they're actually really, really clean if you're craving something like that. But going to these absolute dumpster drive-in stores like McDonald's and Burger King and getting their French fries that they've been in this oil. You have no idea how long they've been in this oil. Certain health regulations require them to recirculate it or get rid of it. Get new oil in. The problem is, I used to work at Steak and Shake when I was in college. I worked there part-time. Most people don't know that. I worked there for almost a year paying for bills while I was in college. They never changed the oil like they were supposed to. They never did. I worked back with a fryer before. A lot of times they'd be like, no, you can let it sit. We'll swap it out on the next shift because it's a mess. They don't want to mess with it. Not to mention it costs more money. Every time you put fresh oil in there, it's more money you're putting in there when you can reuse it. And most people do not know the difference between fresh oil and old oil on those French fries. Absolutely no reason to eat that stuff. You're going to make them. Get something you're going to cook at the house. Get some organic sweet potatoes that are low glycemic. Bake them in the oven. But this whole fast food thing, if you guys are actually serious about your health. Now, if you're listening to this show and you're not serious about your health, you just want us other information, whatever. Do your thing. It's fine. But if you are serious about your health, these are the people I'm talking to. You know, these are the people that we try to help every single day on the phone, via email, via phone, via website, via radio show. This is what we're trying to do is give you the information to keep you guys healthier, keep you guys living really, really good. You don't have to have all these ailments and diseases all the time. You don't have to be on a dozen prescription drugs. Speaking of that, with PPEIs, proton pump inhibitors, these things have gotten so prevalent now. And I talk to so many people that are on these things for acid reflux, and they've been on them for years on end. Another research study just came out of the Washington University School of Medicine and analyzed medical data over 300,000 people. And they said the studies conducted over the last couple of years have already indicated that using these heartburn drugs are linked to an increased risk of kidney damage, bone fractures, and dementia. However, this new research that just got published in BMJ Open revealed that PPI use has far greater consequences. Senior author Ziad Allah, MD, said, no matter how we sliced and diced the data from this large set, we saw the exact same thing every time. There is a direct increase of death among PPI users. For example, when we compared patients taking H2 blockers with those taking PPIs for 1 to 2 years, we found those on PPIs had at least a 50% increased risk of dying over the next 5 years. This translated into more understandable numbers, and this calculated to one unnecessary death for 500 people taking a PPI. Given that there are currently millions of people on these drugs in America alone, this could mean potentially thousands of people dying from using a supposedly safe drug. And I quote, this is what he says here. People have the idea that PPIs are very safe because they're readily available, but there are real risk with taking these drugs, particularly for long periods of time. The team also saw that the risk strengthened the longer patients took the drug, meaning the risk of the death in both the PPI and H2 blocker group was negligible within the first 30 days of intake. As intake was prolonged, risk of death increased, especially if the person took PPIs for 1 to 2 years. The recommended treatment for PPIs is relatively short. That's how it was originally designed with these proton pump inhibitors. 2 to 8 weeks, depending on the type of severity of the condition. Most patients, though, end up continuing this medication for months or years, they said. And he said a lot of times people get prescribed these PPIs for a decent medical reason, but then doctors stop. They don't stop it, and patients keep getting refill after refill after refill. There has to be periodic reassessments as to whether people need to be on these. Most of the time, people aren't going to need to be on PPIs for a year or two or three, he said. This is something that is ongoing. And the problem is, guys, once you're on this stuff for years on end, it makes it incredibly difficult to get off of them successfully. It's just what it is, because your body gets so used to them. So be very careful. If you have to take these for a couple weeks, take them for a couple weeks and get off of them. But do not sit here and rely on these things on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis, because it's like every time I turn around, these PPIs are turning into the new statin. Statins were supposed to be the latest, greatest thing 10 years ago. Fix cholesterol, save your life, made everything hunky-dory is what they marketed as. Now we're finding out they basically all they do is increase your risk of death. PPIs, the same thing. Acid reflux, heartburn, you got that? Get on a PPI. Now we're finding out 2-3 years of being on these massively increases your death risk of over 50 to 60%. Not worth it, in my opinion. Too many natural options. Digestive enzyme blend is an incredibly good formula to take with meals. You can also drink the aloe vera juice. You can also take the Superberry Ultimate that we have here, protein powder. You can take the GHI cleanse. So many different options on the website to take that we have that are natural approaches. You don't have to be on this stuff. But yeah, Dad, every time I turn around now, it seems like more and more information is coming out on these PPIs.
Horrible product. Horrible. If you have to use it temporarily, it's one thing, but overall, don't do that. Don't be on ongoing yearly, years and years and years. By the way, cod liver oil, specifically part of the cod liver oil, the DHA supplementation, is now shown to stop the deadly progression of liver disease. This is really big, buddy. Guys, this is huge. DHA, the cod liver oil can support cod liver health in persons who eat a poor diet and are obese. This supplementation is offering promise to those who have liver health risk, including liver disease. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, this is what it's showing, that it can prevent the need for liver transplants, all of this stuff. Cod liver oil. I remember years ago I had a guy that I talked to, and he basically had really bad liver enzymes. His liver was messed up, and he had fatty liver. I remember we got him started on the cod liver oil. He called me back a month later. He goes, man, I just had my blood test again. I had my liver enzymes test. They're all perfect. So, guys, take your cod every day. I do it every day. I take a shot of cod every day. You think I like it? I really don't care anymore. I've drunk it so many times it doesn't really bother me, but I can't say that I like it. I do it because I know it's healthy for me. Guys, Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for being our friends. Thank you for the great emails. I love you guys. I appreciate you listening to the show, and I just want you to know that we're out here in the trenches for you guys. We're doing what we do. We're bringing you news, like Austin said, about the stuff with the guns, et cetera, that nobody else wants to talk about. Guys, it's because we have been set aside. God has called me and Austin to do what we do, and we're here for a purpose. And guys, we want to thank you that you help support that purpose and that you're here to listen to us. Again, thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. I appreciate you listening. I love you guys. Austin, I'll do the write-up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless.
Absolutely, guys. We appreciate it all. Thank you for the support. And be sure to check out the product of the week. It's Superfood Complete Changes Over in the Morning. That's been on sale for over 30% off. So if you want some of that, make sure you grab it while it's still on sale till tomorrow morning. And be sure to vote on whatever other product you want to win. Right now, it looks like the purple sticks are leading pretty strong, but I've seen the numbers change all over the place with what our customers voted. I love doing this because it really keeps you guys interactive with us. It helps you guys tell us what you guys want to have on sale. This is why I do it all the time. I came up with this years ago. It has been a big hit. A lot of people love it. And we just like to see your feedback. We like to see what you guys like. And when we find out what it is, if you guys want it on sale, we listen and we put it on sale. So we appreciate the support. Thank you for the feedback on the website at healthmasters.com. People go on there all the time and, you know, write us letters as far as on different questions, tell us other things that are going on. And that's what we like to do, is really help people out and basically take care of them the best we can. That's what we're here for. And so we thank you for the support. We thank you for it all. If you need anything, email us, healthmasters.com. You can go in the contact, type in the word contact in the search bar at the top and fill out the contact form. And also, if you want to check out any of the videos, we have a bunch of videos on there you can watch for free, on online videos. And check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Instagram. We're doing more with social media. Not a huge fan of social media per se, but a lot more people have requested it. So we're trying to make it bigger now and give you guys more of what you want. So we appreciate the support. If you need anything, call us, 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow. As always.